Okay. So this is a very special talk because it has no slides. I'm probably the only person who's able to give a talk without doing that. And this is going to be a relatively short introduction. I don't think I'm going to take the full 20 minutes, maybe 10 minutes maximum, just to introduce people here in real time to the EHT Wiki, which we found to be a very wonderful platform for sharing ideas and data and so forth. It's really important to disseminate news, to coordinate science across some of the collaborators, to share the software that we develop, to do the data reduction, stage observations even, and do logistics, and who's going to what site, what equipment has to be sent to what site, how much media do we need to record. We release data on the wiki, and we also organize technical developments. So many of the technical developments that you saw yesterday and today are listed on the wiki, and you can go there and find all the details that you need to about them. So without further ado, this is my talk right here. So we go to the EHT wiki, and we go to, this is the front page, and of course it says the where you're supposed to be during this week. And you come down here, and one of the first things that you would see is active science. So if you go through active science, you'll see that there are many people that have suggested various topics, and some are in various states of investigation. Some are just ideas. Some have memos associated with them. Some have data that's already been analyzed. So if you go to, let's say, astrometry of flares, which is something that Michael Johnson has been working on, you'll see he has a paper outlining the kind of ideas that he's been working on. If you, kind of click here, and well, that's going to take a while. Let's not do that. It was so much faster in my seat, Well, let's go back. Maybe it'll load in a second. Or maybe this paper will load faster, maybe not. Nope. Is somebody watching a video? Is somebody on Netflix up there? We just cut the Netflix out so I can download my talk. All right. But so Michael talked about a lot of the astrometric work that he's been doing with polarimetry, and that would be found here, for example. The other example I wanted to talk about was Kazu's M87, connections with the 2012 enhancement. And you can see here, this is a staging of an entire experiment, entire data reduction plan, and he goes through the science cases, and there are a number of data memos and manuscripts and versions here. And this is how people who have been working on this paper have been collaborating together. So it's quite a nice receptacle for that kind of thing. Then Avery's got some stuff on here, M87 visibility modeling. So he describes his, let me see if this will load any faster, possibly. Yeah, so he has a draft of what he's been working on here. I'm not gonna share anything too any proprietary, but people can go through and comment on that kind of stuff. So it works out very well. And what did I have? Oh, and there's Kazu's NREO530, which is quite interesting. He's been working on this for a while. He's made a couple of trips to Haystack to work with us at the correlator to make sure he understands the data. And he has memos here on his MCMC technique that he's using to do model fitting. And it's all right here, so one can work on that with him if needed. Michael's ordered magnetic fields, which we talked about a little bit during this meeting, is here with a manuscript and a very detailed memo on how we're working on that. And that memo is also found in a separate place here on the polarimetry page. So that's about... Oh, and then the last thing I wanted to point out was Vincent's closure phase work. So if you can't get enough of closure phase, Vincent has been working on all the techniques that he uses to extract closure phases. And here, Avery, is where Vincent describes the sign of closure phase and how you have to add the baseline. So there's some context for understanding the exact algorithms for that. And then we go into, let's see what I wanted to show you next, the EHT data. So we come back here, come to the EHT data page, and this would have a data summary, for example. This has all the observations done so far to date. Here's kind of a nice graphic showing all the sources that have been observed, and when they've been observed, and when things got washed out because of no useful data. So it's a very nice one-stop shopping for figuring out what the EHT has done to date. Data processing memos, and there's some data receptacles here for some of the epochs, and we need to get more of those on the wiki. And let's see, if you go to 2010 or 2011, you see here there's calibrated data, there's raw data, and there are memos describing all the attributes and qualities of those data sets. Let's see, observations. It's a very important thing to stage, right? So we do a lot of worrying about how we're going to do the observations. So for example, in 2013 March, here, I can see it there. We have all the participating stations, and then we go through the schedule. So this is where you could go, if you were at a telescope, you would go to this page, and you would find all the schedules for the different antennas, and all the VEX files that are used to run the recorders and so forth. So it's useful not just for doing science, but also in the field, getting up-to-date information on what's happening. And then if you went to KARMA, you would find all the special files for KARMA, but also all the calibration information for KARMA. So it's a very, every once in a while we have an experiment status. What's the status of the correlation? And then we deposit that here. And then I want to point out that we also stage a lot of technical development here. So things being done at various telescopes, things being done at the correlator. I wanted to highlight Laura's work on the R2DBE here. And I want to give one more shout out to Laura and the team on that. That really is extraordinary. We should step back for a moment and think about what happened with the R2DBE. In the course of about 4 to 5 months, we went from an idea of a new digital back end for the EHT to testing it on the sky. And that happened not because of the wiki, but if you go to the wiki, you'll see kind of how that project evolved. And it was really a testament to using all the tools that Jono just talked about to make something fundamentally new. But you come on here and you'll see that there's, if you're interested in bitcode and software, there are all the different versions that were worked on in a great hurry, I would add. And it has a full description of the system. So it's not just a place to do science, but also to stage technical developments. And then the last thing that we had here, there was the and then we have a special page here for the LMT receiver group that's been working on lenses, for example. So you don't have to be so high tech. You can also do things, in the old-fashioned way by drawing it, and you can scan it, and you can send somebody your idea. And this turns out to be a really interesting way to get the optics for the LO horn and the cryogenic horn that couples to the LMT main beam figured out in pretty short order. And there's other memos here on that mostly Dick Plambeck has put up here. Is Dick still here? Oh, is he gone? Okay, so there was one wonderful... No, that's boring. There was a wonderful picture on here that he had of the whole back end, but that's not very nice. Here, photo of the module. Yeah, so this is quite nice because you can just see in one-stop shopping everything that we're doing. And this is the insert that's going to be going in the interim LMT receiver that hopefully we'll get on the telescope in January. So that's the wiki, and that's all I had. It's a very useful tool for the collaboration, and encourage those with access and those working on data to really make use of it and to post some of the new code that's coming out on the synthesis of data onto the wiki and so forth and so on. So that ends this part of the presentation. I'll take some questions in a minute, but I wanted to, I'll take questions now about the wiki if there are some, and then what I wanted to do next was introduce Colin, who's going to talk next. Colin, you're speaking next? Okay. So I want to say a few words before Colin gets up here. So are there any questions on the wiki?
Let me ask the obvious first question. How do people get access to it that don't know how to yet, and who can post to it?
Yeah, that's a good question. Probably, you should send requests. Who would it be to? Jason Suhu, perhaps, at Haystack. I think we'll be in touch with people about how to do this. So there is a list that we maintain. I hadn't really thought about that. That's a good question. But we will be in touch on that. Yeah. This is a great thing, and we don't know where it is. So.
And
You know, is the intention that anyone can post to it, or is, is that?
Well, I think this is primarily for members of the collaboration. So we have to, and that's what Colin's going to talk about next. So we have to consider the pathway to it.
Any other questions? If not,
okay.
Back to Shep. Yeah, I'm back. Oh, sorry, there was.
So this is a fantastic tool for communicating over somewhat long timescales. You put something on the wiki, hope people take a look at it and get back to you. We're also, at some point, going to need a mechanism for coordinating on short timescales, for setting up, you know, weekly telecons or special telecons. Is that something that you think that we can build into this?
Well, we could. There is a calendar and meeting section on here, which can be used to set up meetings and to set up telecons, things like that. Even, you know, we've had some teleconferences and we've posted minutes for them here, for example. You know, so we had, you know, science telecon and, you know, everybody was present and there's some notes and so forth. So there's possibilities for doing that.
Yeah, and I think this is a good compromise tool, if I can add. There are tools like the JIRA ticket systems. If we really have short turnaround, a lot of things have to happen and you want automated nagging, which is mostly what JIRA is for. I'd suggest that this is probably going to be a while before we're ready for that.
Yeah, for updates like JIRA? Yeah.
For updates like JIRA, yeah. Mm-hmm. Any more questions? Yes, John.
You already have a lot of data over the last few years. Are they going to be archived and available in perpetuity, like the NRAO archives?
Yeah, it's a great question. That is absolutely the intent. You know, the intent is to make the data available to the public at some point. And they will all be archived with calibration information, you know, the whole nine yards.
Actually, in that respect, there's one thing you might show also. If you could you scroll down to somewhere where there's an attachment?
You mean like?
Yeah, just any of the papers that are in it. If scroll down where it's to the bottom. Where?
I'm sorry, well, those are
keep
all.
Keep going, where the attachments are. Oh, go to one of the pages. You notice, okay, attached, but I guess it's off the screen. There's a...
I'm sorry, the screen is not... I had no idea the screen wasn't showing the whole thing.
Yeah, that's fine.
It is.
Way over on the right, there should be something that says actions attached to each of those attachments. There you go, actions. And under actions, one of the choices is to update a new version, if you see where I'm looking. And so what this will do for you is automatic versioning. So as those manuscripts get updated, instead of just reloading it again, if you pull down that action button on the right, we'll say upload new version, and next to the little X on the left, you'll get a archival history of the versions that are loaded. So the reference to your question is that there is a mechanism here for, in a sense, for versioning control, configuration control, and history. The other thing you can do, by the way, is sign up for notifications so that when any page changes, you'll get an email indicating what page has changed and what's been added.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I wanted to introduce the next speaker. Colin's going to come down and give a brief introduction to some of the discussions that have been happening.